Pashas B'chukai Zayin. One of the brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Klal Yisrael if they will be showing the Torah or mitzvahs, written towards the beginning of this week's parasha in Pasuk Ches, V'rodfu mikem chamisho me'ah, and five will pursue the hundred. U'me'ah mikem, and a hundred of you, Revova Yerzeifu, will pursue 10,000. So what are the numbers here? Five will pursue 100. 100 will pursue 10,000. So Rashi asks the obvious question, he's quoting a Chazal, the numbers don't add up. Because if 5 will pursue 100, that's a ratio of 1 to 20. So 100 presumably should run after 2,000. That's also a ratio of 1 to 20. But 100 to 10,000, that's a ratio of 1 to 100. The numbers don't add up. So Rashi says, quoting a Chazal, V'chikachu ha-cheshboin. Is that the correct calculation? Surely it should say 100 should pursue 2,000. That would be consistent with the ratio of 1 to 20. Now, just before we get to Rashi's answer, the Maril Diskin, who's a Goyan Adir, says he's got a very simple teretz to Rashi's question. The question does, the numbers do add up. How does it add up? 5 to 100, 100 to 10,000 don't add up. He says they do. And the truth is, I found afterwards that the Rishonim say his teretz. There's a pirush of the Rosh al Atira. I found this in Rabbeinu Bachai, in the Ksav Kabbalah. Many, many Purushim say it. He says, you're reading the Pasuk wrong. If you have a Chumash open in front of you, you'll appreciate this more. If not, we'll read it out. He says as follows. V'rodfu mikem chamisho me'o. Five will pursue the hundred. End of part one. Then it says, u'me'o mikem, and 100 of you will pursue the 10,000. What does that mean, 100 of you? So simply you learn, 5 individuals will run after 100, and 100 individuals will run after 10,000, says Mario Diskin. No, 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 that's not what it means. You have to read the passage like this. 5, a group of 5, will run after 100. That's a ratio of 1 to 20. 100 of you, what does it mean 100 of you? Not 100 individuals, but 100 groups of 5 will pursue 10,000. So then the numbers add up perfectly. 100 groups of 5 is 500. 500 times 20, 10,000.
Why does the Torah have to mention
the two groups? Oh, right, that's a fair question. That's a fair question. In other words, if the relationship is consistent, 1 to 20, then the Torah is just repetitive, and maybe that's why Rashi didn't learn it better. Yeah, good Torah. At least that's Maril Diskin's goiness. That's how the numbers could be consistent. 5 will pursue 100, and 100 of them, not 100 individuals, 100 groups of 5, that's 500, will pursue 10,000. That's also a consistency of a 1 to 20. So Rabbi Yosef is asking, Maseda. You know, I remember once I was in the Mir. And I learned by Kibbutz Shmuel that Zechut Tzadik Levrochem. One said a whole shtick of Teyer, and he said a teretz. Wonderful teretz. He says, there's a big problem with this teretz. Remember the Mistach? We thought he was being comical, but he wasn't. He says, the problem with this teretz is that it's too good. Sometimes the teretz is too good. And that's really what you're pointing out. The teretz is too good over here. Yeah, it's 1 to 20. But that's problematic. Then you're just repeating yourself twice. So what is Rashi's answer? Rashi says, no. You're right, the numbers are not consistent and they're not supposed to be consistent. 5 will pursue 100, 100 will pursue 10,000. That's a ratio of not 1 to 20, 1 to 100. Why is that? Says Rashi, to teach us, Einoi Doime. There is no comparison between the few, Mu'otin, Ha'oisin Asateiro, Lemerubin Ha'oisin Asateiro. Remember, who's being addressed over here? Klal Yisrael, who are keeping the Torah. To have a group of 5 individuals keeping the Torah, that cannot be compared to a group of 100 individuals keeping the Torah, and it becomes exponentially disproportionate. So you're right, the numbers are not supposed to add up. 100 is much, much more. Numerically, it's not just 5 times 20. All of a sudden, the proportion is no longer 1 to 20, it's 1 to 100, because you have a koyach of a rabbin, all performing Torah or mitzvahs, that's much more than the some of the individuals. That's what the famous Rashi tells us. Now, there is a technicality over here, which is addressed by the Rishonim. I think it's worthwhile pointing out. And then we'll get to a wonderful, wonderful Chassad Sefer. The Gemara tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, on occasion, what we call a midah toiva, and on occasion, a midah of puranos punishment. So the Gemara gives us a famous equation. The midah toiva is always more than the puranos. What does that mean, is more? For example, it says, Pashas Kisisa, Poikeid Ovoin Ovois Al Shileshim Ba'al Ribeyim. Somebody performs an Aveira, his children will suffer. His grandchildren will suffer. His great grandchildren will suffer. Al Shileshim, three generations, Al Ribeyim, four generations, but then it stops. It doesn't say that it's great, 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 great. No, four generations. That's when a person does an Aveira. And what about when a person does a mitzvah? Va'oisa Chesed La'alofim. Person does a mitzvah, 1,000 generations will reap the reward. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes and he rewards. The reward is always greater than the punishment. In other words, not just equal but opposite. The reward in this case is 1,000 generations, and yet the punishment, just 3 or 4. That's the rule, cast iron rule. So Taisus asks a fantastic question there in Sefer Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. In Parshas Ha'azinu, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed, it says, when the Klal Yisrael are not towing the line, Eicha Yiridoif Echad Elef. One of the enemy will pursue 1,000 of Klal Yisrael. 1,000. Now here the numbers really do not add up. When they're pursuing us, because we're not towing the line, one of them will pursue 1,000. That's our punishment. 1 second. In our parasha, when we are towing the line, what's the proportion? 1 to 20. When it gets a bit larger, 1 to 100. So here we have that the midot toiva is not more. The midot toiva is much less than the puranias. How can that make sense? Azifrik tesis. That's tesis kasha there in tesis in Sefer Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So Taisus himself says, I'm not so bothered by the question, because it doesn't say there that the goyim will pursue and kill. It doesn't say they'll pursue and kill, just pursue. Here we're talking about pursuing and killing. It says, v'noflu lifneichem b'choref. So if it's just the meaning of scaring them, so one will pursue 1,000. But we're not talking about how much they'll kill. Maybe they'll kill much less. In our parasha it says, v'noflu lifneichem, we won't just pursue them, we'll actually catch up with them and kill them. That's the kasha, that's the terrace of the of Tosfos. The Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh is not happy with it. The Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh says, I'd like to suggest a new teretz, a little bit technical, but it fits in with the pasuk beautifully. The lashon of the pasuk that we began was, V'rodfu mikem chamisha. Five of you, five from you will pursue 100. What does that mean, from you? The whole word is superfluous. If you will keep Torah mitzvahs, then five will pursue 100. What's mikem? So Rashi says on the word mikem, mikem, from you, min hachaloshim, from the weakest people. Mikem means from you, not all of you. Some people will have a much, 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 much bigger proportion. Mikem, our parasha is only talking about the weakest of Klal Yisrael. The weakest of Klal Yisrael, weak people, don't go to battle at all. Ah, so let's compare like with like. The weakest member of Klal Yisrael will be able to pursue and kill. What will the proportion be? 1 to 20, 1 to 100, that's the weakest. And what will the equivalent be in the punishment? We don't know. Maybe the weak people of the goyim will never pursue Klal Yisrael. Because normally, who are the ones fighting in battle? Strong people. So therefore, we don't have any more question anymore with Midot Toiva and Midot Puranias. When it says in Hazinu that one will pursue 1,000, who's that talking about? One guy. What type of guy? Strong guy. Normal, seasoned soldier. He'll pursue one after 1,000. And how many will a strong Jew pursue? I don't know, maybe a million. But it says over here only 1 to 20. No, that's not the weak people. So therefore, the equation remains consistent. The midah tova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always more powerful. Here it says 1 to 20, it's about the weakest people. You have somebody who's 109 years old, he'll also be able to run after 100 people. The equivalent with a guy, he'll never be able to pursue that amount of Jews. In fact, he won't go to battle at all. The strongest people, that's 1 to 1,000. But in Klal Yisrael, it'll be much more than that. That's how he learns the pasuk. But either way, let's come back now to Rashi and we'll see there's a beautiful pshat of the Ksav Sefer in a little bit of a troubling, puzzling Gemara. Again, Rashi said the numbers don't add up. 5 to 100 is simply not the same as 100 to 10,000. And what was the Loshen? What was the Teretz? You're right, it's not supposed to be the same. When you have a bigger group of Lomdei Torah and Osei Mitzvahs, their koyach is exponentially stronger. Says the Ksav Sefer, the following pshat now. The Gemara in Brachas tells us a story. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became appointed as the Nasi, as we mentioned in the Seder Mitzvah. On that day, the Gemara says, there was an increase in the benches in the Beis HaMedrash, which is another way of saying, more Talmidim arrived. How many arrived? So the Gemara says, Machlekes. One says, 400 extra Talmidim arrived. And one says, no, 800 Talmidim arrived. 400 or 800? So the Ksav Sefer asks, firstly, why is it of interest exactly how many Talmidim arrived? 400, 500, 800, why is that a big difference? But more puzzling is, it seems a bit of a huge gap to the Machlokes. If you say 400 knows 401, say that. How can there be two opinions which are so diverse? In fact, he's 100% out. Is it 400 or 800? Doesn't make sense. How many Talmidim came to Beis HaMedrash? I mean, surely you can work that out. So the Ksav Sefer says a wonderful pshat, very mechudosh. There is no machloikas in the Gemara at all. 400, 800, there's no two opinions whatsoever. What do you mean? 400 is not 800. 800 is not 400. Zomachlikas. Says the Ksav Sefer Goinus. There were 400 Talmidim to start off in the Beis HaMedrash. When the Elazar ben Azariah joined forces, another 400 joined. So practically, how many Talmidim joined? 400. That's what the Gemara says. What does the other opinion say? 800 joined. You know what he means? The first 400 are also beneficiaries of the second 400. Why? Because Rashi told us in our Pasha, when you have a bigger group, that influences everybody. It's not just the sum of the individuals. So when the second group of the 400 came, the first 400 felt the benefit. It's as if they arrived afresh in the Beis HaMedrash. There's no machlokes. He says 400, he says 800, you're both right. 400 new Talmidim arrived, but that, in effect, almost gave the feeling as if 800 had arrived. What do you mean? 400 were there all along, but they were only 400. In other words, 800 is not double 400. Much, much greater. Much, much greater. Therefore, the initial 400 Talmidim, they felt the invigoration, they felt the elevation, the fact that another 400 had arrived, this was altogether a different type of group. And therefore, it's almost as if the first 400 rejoined the Beis HaMedrash. Says the Ksav Sefer, if that's the case, I'd like to suggest, he says, a pshat in a puzzling posuk in the beginning of Devarim. In the beginning of Devarim, Perek Aleph, posuk Yud Aleph, it says as follows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael a bracha. Yosef Aleichem Kochem Elef Po'amim. You should increase 1,000-fold. Wonderful bracha. And then it concludes, the posuk finishes off with very difficult to understand words. You've given me a bracha, we should increase 1,000-fold. Vivorich Eschem, and Hashem should bench you, Kasher Diber Lochem, as he spoke to you. Firstly, you've already told us the bracha. He told us the bracha is 1,000 times. Well, what's this new bracha? What does it mean? Kasher dibur lachem, as he spoke to you. When? Well, when did he say this? So look in Rashi. Rashi says there, Klal Yisrael came with a complaint to Moshe Rabbeinu. You're giving us a bracha, we should increase 1,000-fold. That's a kitzvah. That's a finite bracha. Simple understanding in Rashi is, why only 1,000-fold? Maybe 1,000,000-fold. That's not good enough. So Moshe Rabbeinu adds, V'yivorech Esam HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed give you a blessing far more than that. Don't worry, it won't be limited to 1,000. That is the simple understand, or a simple way of learning the Rashi. And what does it mean, as he once spoke? When did Hashem speak? Because remember, he promised the others, Klal Yisrael will be so innumerable you won't be able to count them. That's what it means, that's how Rashi explains. Moshe Rabbeinu said you'll be 1,000 times greater. They say that's not good enough, you're putting on a cap. Fine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a bracha like he once promised the others, you'll be much more than 1,000, you'll be millions and billions. That's what Rashi explains. Says the Ksav Sefer, I want to suggest a novel chat. Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a bracha, wonderful bracha. You're going to increase 1,000-fold. Oh, wonderful bracha, no? Says Klal Yisrael, don't know, maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, if there's so many people, that means there'll be a big shortage of food and parnasa. It's not always the greatest bracha. If we have so many more people, who says we'll have enough resources for them? That's what it means you're putting a kitzvah. A kitzvah doesn't mean it's a cap, it's only 1,000, we would have liked more. A kitzvah means you're putting a cap on our resources. How are we going to sustain everybody? So what does Hashem say? No, vivorech eschem, don't worry, you won't be limited at all. You'll get a great bracha, kasher dibur lachem, as he once told you. When did he tell you? As it says in Parshas Bechukosai, the greater the number of people doing Torah or mitzvahs, the zechuyos will raise with it exponentially. So you're worried that what? Will increase 1,000 times, wonderful bracha, everybody keeping Torah or mitzvahs, how are we going to sustain them? No, kasher diber lochem. Hashem promised you in Parshas Bechukosai that 100 is not just 20 times 5. It's much, much bigger than that. If you increase 1,000-fold, you'll have exponentially much, much more brachas. There'll be no shortage in Klal Yisrael. Nobody will have a lack of resources. Kasher diber lochem, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu once promised you. Where? In our parashah. As Rashi explains, you have a group of 100, exponentially, that's far, far greater than the sum of its individual parts. Therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing to worry about. Klal Yisrael will indeed become much greater in size. Don't worry, that will mean a shortage of resources, because I've already promised the more people in Klal Yisrael, the more keeping Torah or mitzvahs, to the contrary. That's not less resources, that's more. Do you know why? Because there'll be more zechuyos, more brachos for everybody. I'd like, if I may, just to share with you a thought, which is not to do with the parasha. It's not to do with the parasha. It's really to do with what happened in Eretz Yisrael this past week. It's something that I said in our shul in the Mar Gimel, and I'd like to share with you. As is well known, Gedolei Yisrael, Ubereshom, Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, Reb Yashin Edelstein Shlita, they call there should be a national atzeres and chizuk in light of the mass chilul Shabbos that took place in Eretz Yisrael, tragically last Shabbos. And indeed, many killers up and down the country got together. In fact, Rav Kornfeld came to Ramah Gimel, he spoke in front of an enormous crowd. There was Tehillim and there was Slichas, and they blew the shofar and they opened Aron HaKodesh. It was a very dramatic scene, sent a shiver up the spine. The question is, when you have an atzeres like that, or even for those who are unable to attend the atzeres, everybody had their chizuk in their way, what exactly is the purpose of an atzeres like that? What is the purpose of the atzeres? It's unlikely that those who you're concerned about will know that you had an atzeres anyway. And even if they do find out, they're never going to change their mind as a result. Oh, we heard in Ramah Gimel, 200 people got together to blow the shofar, fine, so we'll cancel the whole. That's not unlikely to happen. Al pi darkei ha'teva, Kodesh Baruch Hu could produce anything. So what's the purpose of an atzeres like that? So the story is told, an incredible story. I heard this once from a Rav in America, if I'm not mistaken, it was my friend. And he said the following. He said he was once giving a drosha, and he said, I'd like to tell you the story, which unfortunately I don't know the ending of. It's only half a story, but it's about the Chofetz Chaim, and half a story about the Chofetz Chaim is also worth telling. Fine. So he tells his crowd there, tells the audience that I heard a very dramatic story. There was a bacha in the Radin Yeshiva, times of the Chofetz Chaim, and they caught him smoking on Shabbos. And the decision was therefore taken, Machal Shabbos, L'chayre, he needs to be thrown out of the yeshiva. He was convinced to go and talk to the Chofetz Chaim, go and seek advice from the Chofetz Chaim. And upon this conversation with the Chofetz Chaim, a final decision will be taken. So this is the way my friend describes it. He says, the way it's told over is that the Bacha came into the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim said very minimal words, apparently, because the meeting lasted a matter of seconds. And this Bacha emerged from the Chofetz Chaim, apparently an altogether different person. And he described that that's it. It made such a phenomenal effect on him that he promised he'd never be Machal Shabbos again. And my friend said, that's all of the details that I know. It's a shame we don't know, we'll never know what the Chofetz Chaim actually said to this Bacha, but still, it's a story worth telling. You see, the Chofetz Chaim, apparently, even with the minimal words, incredible thing, a God Ladoi, as a Siyata Bishmai, doesn't need to give a whole hour-long Musa Drosha, a few words, an appointment of a number of seconds, and he turned around this Bacha. That's a story worth telling. So he described to my friend, says, incredibly, he says, that I once said this over to an audience, and would you believe it? An elderly Jew there burst into tears. Too unbelievable. And he approached my friend and he said, I was that bacha. I emigrated from Radin and I came to America. And the story is exactly as you told it. Exactly as you told it. So my friend says, no, so tell us, what did the Chofetz Chaim say? All of Klal Yisrael want to know, what did the Chofetz Chaim say? What did the Chofetz Chaim say? So he said, I'll tell you exactly what happened. As you described, as you can imagine, I entered the Chofetz Chaim's room, shivering. Pachad Moves, to come to the God Ladoi, who spent his whole life in the Chazak Shmir Shabbos, and he has smoked a cigarette on Shabbos. What's he going to say? He's going to yell at me, he's going to kick me out. What's he going to do to me? So the Chofetz Chaim sat me down, and he took my hand, and the Chofetz Chaim started crying. He said, I'll never forget his hot, salty tears ran down his cheek and landed on my hand. I can still feel them ad hayom hazeh, he described 50, 60, 70 years later. But what did the Chofetz Chaim say? The Chofetz Chaim said four words to me. That was his whole drosha. No introduction, no grand finale ending, four words. He took my hand and through the tears he said, Shabbos, Shabbos, Heilige Shabbos. Shabbos, Shabbos, the holy Shabbos. End of drosha, I left his house, and from then I've never been Machal Shabbos ever again. We're talking about decades and decades later. How did the Chofetz Chaim succeed in being Machzir this Bacha b'tshuva? Not with his oratorical skills, and not with some goyinus drosha, he only said four words. Do you know how he returned? Do you know how he brought this bacha back? I'll tell you how he brought this bacha back. We know Paroi was about to kill all of Klal Yisrael. That was his plan. And the Gemara tells us that he sought advice with his three advisors. Who were his three advisors? Bilam, Yisroi, Iyoid. Bilam said, yeah, kill them. I'm all for it. What happened to Bilam? Midah keneged midah, he ended up being killed himself. Yisroi ran out. What was his midah keneged midah? He ran out, he left his position in the palace, he gave up all of his honor. All of Klal Yisrael came to meet him and they accorded him tremendous honor. Midah keneged midah. So far everything makes sense. Well, what about Eoiv? Eoiv, it says, remain silent. I'm not protesting, I'm not running away, but I'm not agreeing either. What happened to him? Terrible afflictions, Yisurim. Frank the Brisker Rav, why is that Midah keneged Midah? So the Brisker Rav said in Yiddish, when it's tut vei, schreit man. When it hurts, you shout. When you're in pain, you scream. Eoy, you remain silent there, and you didn't scream in protest. I'll make sure that you scream. What are you going to say? What's there to scream about? It wouldn't have done anything anyway. Really? So why, when you were in pain, did you scream? Did that do anything for you? No, I didn't scream in order for it to do anything. I screamed because I'm in pain. If it would have bothered you, you would have protested, you would have screamed. And if you didn't then, I'll jolly well make sure that you do in the future. That is what the Chofetz Chaim was successfully teaching his bacha. Forget droshes, this is not the time for droshes. When the Chofetz Chaim cried these tears and the Bacha felt the pain of the Chofetz Chaim, Shabbos, Shabbos, Heilige Shabbos, that's the most powerful Musa Drasha in the world. When it's tutzvei, when it's, you're in pain, you scream and you cry. What does that do for you? Nothing. It's just a natural reaction. It's not a decision. The Chofetz Chaim didn't decide, now I will cry. It's not a decision, it's a reaction. When somebody's in pain, he doesn't decide to scream. It's a natural reaction. It's not in order to do anything. So when this person felt the pain of the Chofetz Chaim, he realized, wow, this is obviously something extremely serious. Which indeed it is. Shabbos Kodesh is the whole bris that we have between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Oisi. That's how the Chofetz Chaim brought back this bocha. Not with his drosha, but rather with his pain. Because he couldn't have cried otherwise. And if he cried, he was in pain. And you're only in pain when something hurts. Clearly this hurt the Chofetz Chaim. That's how he understood the magnitude of what had just happened. And that's how he came back to Tshuva. We have an Atzeres Tefillah. We have an Atzeres Tefillah. So we ask, are they going to hear about it? Are they going to rescind their plans? The Atzeres Tefillah is not in order to anything. Rather, we cry out in pain. Because if Shmirah Shabbos and Chilul Shabbos genuinely hurts us, then we cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not in order to achieve anything. It wasn't so that hopefully the press will report it and maybe they'll be impressed and they'll cancel their plans. Al pi darkei ha-teva, no chance whatsoever. Ah, failure. No, that was never the purpose in the first place. The purpose was that we should feel in pain. When you feel in pain, you cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in fact, that's what a Tekiyah Shofar is all about. What is Tekiyah Shofar? No words. How is a shofar blown? From air, which comes from the innermost place in a person's guf. That's what a shofar is. I have no words. I just scream to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the real purpose of the Atzeres. So in conclusion, I've mentioned one Gemara. Chazal tell us, and it could be we mentioned this in the past, and it's very, very important. Chazal tell us, whoever sees the Isha Soita, the immoral woman, Bekil Kulha, in her terrible, despicable state, Yazir Atzmei Min HaYayin, he should refrain from Yayin. If you look in Parashas Nosa, coming up in a couple of weeks, there's a juxtapositioning of the Parasha of Soita, and Nozir, what's the connection? If you saw the Isha Soita being punished in that way, you should realize, you know how that started? It all started with wine. She gave in to her tithers, and that's what happened in the end. So you better refrain from wine. So what's the obvious question? The obvious question is, one second. If I was in the Beis HaMikdash that day, my luck, and I saw the Soita die in this terrible way, believe you me, I'd never forget that scene for the rest of my life. My friend wasn't there. So who's the one who should refrain from wine? Me, or the one who remained at home? Why me? I was there. I saw it. Kol haraya saita bekulkula. Whoever sees the saita should refrain from wine. I would have l'chayra thought whoever didn't see the saita, he didn't see it, so he doesn't have the hisayrus. Where's his chizuk going to come from? So he better take precautions and don't drink wine. But me, I was there, I saw it. So Mefarshim explain, if you were there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized it, that you saw it, clearly you need a chizuk there. And your friend who stayed at home obviously didn't need a chizuk. And if he did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have found 1,000 ways of bringing him to the Beis HaMikdash on that day. Kol haraya saita. If you saw the saita, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu spin the wheels of Ashkocha Protis and you arrange it, you should be there exactly at that day, at that hour, at that minute, and you saw this Isha Saita suffering such a terrible, ignominious death, which came about as her indulgence, and realize you need a chizuk in it, therefore you should prevent. You should better prevent your wine drinking. What's the limud over here? When you hear about terrible Chilul Shabbos, it's very, very easy to say, ugh, terrible. Terrible, they're so bad. No, it happened over here, on our doorstep in Eretz Yisrael. And if it happened over here, then we need a chizuk. Rather than putting others down, if Chilul Shabbos on that scale happened right here on our doorstep, in Eretz Yisrael, didn't happen in North Pole, it happened right here in Eretz Yisrael, less than an hour's drive from where we're sitting now, then we're the ones who need a chizuk. Very easy to put all the blame on others. It's their fault, and Nebuch, and they're Rishoyim, or they're not Rishoyim. It's all them. No, we need a chizuk. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta famously once said, if there's one Jew who marries out in France, then you should realize it's because a Jew in Kovna didn't learn the way he should. Everything we do influences everybody. Very easy to say, there's them, and there's us, and there's nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with us. And especially if it happens right here on our doorstep. Just finish with one small story. A very powerful story. The story is told that Rav Shach, the Freyner of Bracha, once went for a walk on Shabbos afternoon with the Talmud on the outskirts of Bnei Brak, right where it borders onto Ramat Gan. Bnei Brak is, as we know, from Haredi area, Ramat Gan isn't. So Rav Shach is surveying the scene, and he sees obviously all the streets of Bnei Brak closed, there's no cars, and inches, meters away, you have streets in Ramat Gan, open, driving as if it's a regular Tuesday afternoon. So Rav Shach turned around to his Talmud and says, what's the difference between this street and that street? It's just meters away. Why are there cars here and there's no cars here? The Talmud didn't understand the question. What do you mean? This is Bnei Brak and that's Ramat Gan. This is a Haredi area and this is not. Says Rav Shach, no, that's not the truth. That's not the answer. Do you know what the answer is? The Shmira Shabbos of all the Jews in Bnei Brak has a wonderful hashpah, an influence. How far does the influence stretch? Apparently this far. And if the Shmira Shabbos in Bnei Brak had only been stronger, then the hashpah would have spread further onto the next street and onto the street after that and further, and there wouldn't be cars either. What was he teaching his Talmud? What was the Talmud saying? We're okay. We're Bnei Brak. It's them. Ramat Gan. No, it's us. If we would only be stronger in our Shmira Shabbos, then the influence of that would reach and spill over well beyond Bnei Brak. Into Ramat Gan and further afield. Everybody in this country, Lamashal, almost everybody, I think statistics show, even the most furthest removed, to some extent, keep Yom Kippur. 95-98% of people fast in Yom Kippur. So the Briskerov says, you know why? Because Yom Kippur, as far as we're concerned, is so precious. And Yom Kippur, we make such a big asik of Yom Kippur that it's mashpia on other people that they keep Yom Kippur as well. If we see Chilul Shabbos on an enormous scale, Rachmon al Islam, right here on our doorstep, then it's a time not to look outwards, but rather to look inwards. The Atzeres in itself, all the davening, the chizukim, in order to make a proclamation, it hurts. The Chofetz Chaim taught this bocha. That's what the Baruch was teaching Iyariv. When it hurts, you scream and you cry. That's stage one. Stage two is we now need to look inwards. Maybe I need a chizuk in my Shmir Shabbos, whether it be in the halachas of Shabbos, the tefillahs of Shabbos, the sudos at home on Shabbos. There's so many aspects of Shabbos, but maybe it's the fact we once mentioned a few weeks ago, pre-Yom Tov, everybody talks about Yom Tov and gives lots of shurim and drashas, but Shabbos is the most frequent Yom Tov and the least frequent spoken about. The purpose of Shabbos, the importance of Shabbos. This is a time, l'choira, that's what the Gedolei Yisrael are teaching us for introspection. Small chizuk, whether it be an extra kviyas in Hilcha Shabbos, or an extra look at the way I daven on Shabbos, or perhaps change the way I run my meals on Shabbos, but certainly this is a time that we should increase our own chizuk on Shabbos, and then Be'ez Hashem, that really will spill over and have a shpor up and down the country. Be'ez Hashem to all of Klal Yisrael.